This is a podcast about our lived experience, which unfortunately includes infant death and subsequent mental health struggles. Please take good care of yourself and only listen if this content feels safe for you right now. We'll still be here when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Judith.
And I'm Melina. We are internet friends turned real life friends who both experienced the tragic loss of our sons to sudden infant death syndrome in winter of 2021.
In the year after Aiden died, my husband and I both became unemployed, my parents divorced, and we had to move 5 times for various reasons.
And as for me, just a few weeks before my son Quinn died, my then husband had come out to me as a transgender woman and we're subsequently divorcing.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
But as long as we're living, we will love our sons deeply and work to make sure that we live a life that makes them proud.
Welcome to As Long As I'm Living podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Hi. This is Alina, Quinn's mom. And I'm having a really bad day. I just feel really sad. Really sad. Really fragile. I've been feeling pretty good recently and feeling joy again, which I've been welcoming. But right now, today, I look around at my life and I hate it. I hate this life. I hate this life so much. Happy or joyful, I'm able to feel. This life sucks. It sucks. I feel like this rebuilding that I'm doing, this life that I'm building, this rebuild is such a fucking consolation prize. I'm honestly just sick of doing this. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of being alive when my baby's dead. I'm sick of being a mother without having anyone to mother. I feel very lonely today. I feel very lonely. And I have wonderful friends and family, and I have a boyfriend who loves me, and I just feel like it all pales in comparison to the joy I felt before when Quinn was alive. And to have known that joy and then to have lost it is just, it's really painful.
I was really sad.
I really appreciate you articulating that feeling because I myself have felt it so often. I felt it today. I even felt it this morning. I felt it like an hour ago. I was like, oh, I don't want to do this life anymore.
Like sometimes I look at my life and I'm like, this is my life.
It's really bad.
This one, like, can I return it for another? Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh my God.
So to give the listeners a little context, I had a really bad week last week. I had like one of the bad weeks, you know, some weeks are good, some weeks are bad. The last week was a bad week. For a full, probably 8 or 9 days was just like sleeping on the floor, staring off into space. I posted a couple of reels on our Instagram that seemed to resonate with people, which I can link in the description here. But basically, it was a bad week and I did not feel good. I have been feeling really happy recently, as our listeners know. But it doesn't last when you have a dead baby. And I was really feeling absolutely awful.
Shit.
Like shit.
You did have a little.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you being so honest and vulnerable and sharing those reels, because I think when you're in it, it's really hard to like want to give of yourself at all, like even like just take a video, let alone like, you know, put together something like creative. Like I don't even want to like look at myself in the mirror, let alone like take a video and then share it with thousands of people. So there's a vulnerability there that is raw and hard, and so I'm really impressed that you had the awareness to do that.
Thank you. I think it's I was at a point in the week By the time I started recording that, I was like right in the sweet spot where I still felt like garbage, but I had slightly more energy.
Yeah. It was like Thursday or Friday. So it was like, yeah.
And I'll say too, like your guys' comments on those reels and the messages, we got so many messages from you all. They genuinely made me feel better.
That's
They
really nice
really
to
did.
hear.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah. And I think,
So many people said I feel so seen right now.
I think that when you're in your most, or at least let me say this, let me speak for myself. When I'm in my most vulnerable, my most griefy state, it's very easy to feel lonely, even though I do have a good network and I even have a network of lost, other lost parents that I connect with, like Judith included. Judith is obviously one of those people. It still just feels really lonely because nobody is living my exact set of
Circumstances.
circumstances. Yeah. And, it's not common for people. Like, one of the things that I've really been suffering about recently is not having a baby at all, like, not even being able to try to get pregnant because that's just not my life. And I don't really have anybody to commiserate with on that.
You're totally right.
It's just not, that's not a thing. Like, I know people who are trying to get pregnant and can't. And so I can commiserate about wanting to have a baby and not having one. And I obviously know, plenty of people who are missing an important member of their family, but it's just not the same. Like I said, like it's not the exact same set of circumstances, and I know for you, Judith, like you're also living a pretty unique set of circumstances. Like it's just, so I guess what I'm trying to say is like being able to connect with people on the things that are shared does feel really meaningful and helpful. Like everybody knows what it feels like.
Yeah, but you could say, but my life is still very hard and sad and shitty.
Yes. Yes, it
And, or maybe
is.
not, but maybe we should say,
Yeah.
and my life is very hard and shitty.
Yeah.
Your life is really hard and shitty.
Yeah, so is yours.
I know. I feel like I know someone else has explained this to me many, many times, but I think that they're always right. Like it's like a hum in the background, and then some days you can like ignore that hum and like live life, and then sometimes the hum is just really loud and you have choice but to be like, okay, fine, I surrender to the hum.
Yeah.
I feel you. I really do feel you, and I like the idea of a consolation prize because it's not like there's nothing. It's not like you get nothing.
Right.
It's just what you get is like plastic, you know?
Yeah. It's fool's gold. Or here's, okay, so
Yeah.
here are my, like, in that recording that I recorded when I was at some of my most upset of the whole week. Which I'm sure my mom hated listening to that. Sorry,
I'm so
mom.
sorry, Mom.
My brain was telling me that all the happiness I've felt since Quinn died, any of the happiness that I've felt since Quinn died, was false
Oh my God,
happiness.
Alina, I've had the same thought and feeling.
Yes.
How have we never discussed this?
I don't know.
I've had the exact same thought
Yes.
and feeling.
And when I felt like trash, I was like, oh, every single time I've ever been happy, it's been a lie. And my brain was like, Alina, you thought you were happy, but this is the real you. And the real you is miserable and you hate
Yes.
your life. Your life is terrible. You hate it. You're not happy. You're lying to yourself when you say that you're
Yes.
happy. But you know what, Judith? My brain was being a jerk. And that's not true.
I think there's a kernel of truth. I think what your brain is saying, first of all, I do believe you are happy. Hold
Yeah.
on. I'll say that. I think the kernel of truth is, but this is not what I would choose.
No, absolutely not.
You know, what you're really saying is, I have all these things. I'm like, they're fine, but I don't want this life.
Yes.
Sure, I am happy. There's a lot of good, you know, but this is not what I would choose. And I think the truth is, Alina, we are white cis women with college education. We are used to getting what we want.
Yes.
You know, we had a vision in our mind of what we wanted, and then the world was giving it to us for maybe with some hiccups, but like we were on track to getting exactly what we wanted. And I think a little piece of this is like a little child in me being like, but I don't want this, you
Yes.
know? I don't want
Yes.
it. This isn't what I want. And I feel like I don't know. I think because we are privileged from all of those things I just, you know, mentioned, we always
Yeah.
had food on the table that part of this is that little child being a, I don't think being a spoiled brat, but just that little child that believes that we get what we want. I don't know if I'm just, I don't know if I'm being like really privileged in my attitude of like, I don't get what I want, or is what I wanted so basic and so obvious that even people who are not cis white college educated people get this at a minimum. And I didn't get it. Wait, yeah. Did I make any sense with that?
Yeah,
I don't know if I did. Because you and I have spoken on the phone about how many people who go through really difficult times, whether they go through, you know, a flood and they lose their home, or they go through a famine, or their country is at war, and they can say to themselves, oh, but I have the health of myself and the health of my children.
Yes.
as like that's what they, and then we can't even say that. It's like, wait a minute. Sometimes when you pointed that out, I was like, whoa.
I mean, like, think about this. How frequently do you hear people say, but at least I have my family?
Yes.
Like, in any circumstance where, like, maybe shit has gone sideways in their life, maybe they lose their job, maybe they're whatever. Like, I've heard my parents say it. I've heard everybody say it. You hear people say it on TV. You hear people say it on the news.
Yeah, yeah.
At least I have my family. I don't have my family.
Right, exactly. Exactly, right. That's why I'm saying our lives are that bad.
They are that bad.
If you are following my logic right now, you've lost a child.
I just had therapy right before we recorded just now, and I spent like half of it just being so angry at the rest of the world. Like, I'm so annoyed at all the stupid people with their stupid living children, their entire alive families. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you. You don't even know how good you have it.
I find that first feeling of like, I don't want this life. This life is so bad. This is like, I don't want to do this anymore. How long do I have to do this? Bleeds very directly into why me?
Yeah.
Anger. Like, it's like the two are live together.
Yeah.
My grief does not live in an angry place in general.
Yeah, mine doesn't either.
But for some reason, when I get in the headspace that you're talking about right now, it's like my next thought is usually angry thoughts. Like, why me? I don't understand why this happened to me. Why did I lose my family? Why not her? Why not him? Why not them? Why am I the only one? This is not
And also,
fair.
How dare anyone else complain? How dare they?
Yes.
When they're, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like when I say to myself, but nothing is real in my life. Even my happiness is not real. I think that's when my brain is just like, well, fuck everyone else. Why do they get it?
Exactly. And I want to add the counterpoint here that I think as much as each of those awful things my brain was saying do have a kernel of truth, I think that was mental illness, or maybe not mental illness, but that was like, you know, grief.
That's not how you feel.
That's not how I feel. And my therapist encouraged me to literally like write down the things that I know are true, because maybe I'll need it someday. Like, I felt like I was able to, throughout the last week, hang on to what I know is true. My brain was telling me, you hate your life. And I was saying, I don't hate my life. My brain was like, yes, you do. And I was like, no, I don't. I swear. And my brain was like, yes, you do. And I was able to still hold both being true. But Judith, I got tired of it. I was really losing steam. Like, I felt like I was hanging off the edge of a cliff with my hand, like, and my hands were getting tired, like trying to grip onto what the truth was. And I like would have lost it at some point.
You know what I say to myself in those times? I say, if it was this bad always, you would not have a job. If it was this bad always, you would not have Alina. If this bad always, you would not have podcasts. Like, these things are evidence that it's not always this bad. And I know by looking at pictures or by just like things in my house that I don't always feel this way.
Yes.
And I try and like, I look into concrete things. Like, you could look at the fact that we have a podcast as just evidence that things are not always that bad. Because if you felt that bad all the time, you would not have one.
You're right. That's really true. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, I think you feel like this more than you. And then you know what I asked myself? Did I ever feel like this before Aiden died? And the answer is no. Never felt like this.
Absolutely no. Nope. I didn't either.
I didn't even know that this feeling could exist.
Yep. I would classify what I was feeling The closest emotion I can say is despair.
Yes.
I really was in a bad place where my brain was berating me and I couldn't get off the floor. Like I was really truly despairing, like drowning in my own shitty life.
You're right. Your life is shitty.
It is.
It's really bad. I mean, there's also good, but
Of
it is
course.
also really bad.
Exactly. It's a consolation prize, but is it like, and I mean, so here's the crux of the issue, right? I do think it's a consolation prize. I think any joy that
Wait, Alina, remember I asked, oh shit. I asked you, I was like, how does your boyfriend feel about the fact that you wish you'd never met him?
Yeah, I've talked to him about this. I
Right?
mean,
Because
the truth is, any family I build from now on, I'm gonna wish I didn't have
a
in a
hundred
way.
and 50%.
Yeah. And so like I think this new life that I'm building is a consolation prize. It
Yes.
is. And it can make me happy and I can have genuine joy.
Okay, so let me ask this question about, I have a living daughter now.
Yeah.
Do I feel my daughter as a consolation prize?
Do you?
I do not, because I believe that the souls that are meant to be your children are the souls that are meant to be your children. So I believe I would have had this kid as my second kid or my third kid. Like this kid was meant to be with me and my family.
Aiden could have been 2.5 when she was
Aiden could have been
born.
two and a half when she was born, or she could have come first and then Aiden would have died second. My belief is that she was meant to be with me. That's my belief.
Is that the same belief you had before Aiden died, or is this like a new thing that is coming together for you?
I don't think I ever, you know, when people say, but you wouldn't be here if Aiden hadn't died. And maybe that is true. Maybe she wouldn't have been here right now when Aiden died. But like the sperm meets the egg in January, you have Aiden. If the sperm meets the egg in February, do I have Quinn? Like if the sperm meets the egg in March, do I have Ari? That's very difficult for me to believe that like the sperm meets the egg in a different month and then like I have a completely different
Soul.
soul. Yeah, I just can't possibly believe that. That doesn't
Yeah.
make any sense. And then that's why when people say, well, if Aiden wasn't alive, then my daughter wouldn't be alive. And I want to say to them, like, okay, but the odds of that, to me, that seems like, okay, well, what if you would have ovulated? What if just the sperm next to the sperm that got you went there? Like,
So many things could have led to a different child.
20 million things. Exactly. I could have gotten pregnant accidentally when Aiden was 7 months old instead of intentionally.
Yeah, you
It's
absolutely
possible.
could
And then
have.
I would have had me. Like, it's very difficult for me to believe that it's that scientific. I know I come from a religious background, but I also believe that part of it is like nurture versus nature. So it's any maybe I just don't believe that.
I don't know that I've ever thought about it this way because I do really struggle with because my kids won't have the same both parents. So like I'll be the mom of all my children, but my, Quinn will have had a different set of parents than the rest of my kids will have. And I think I have really struggled because like my kids like straight up would not exist. Like they'll well have different genetics than if shit hadn't gone so sideways in my
Yes.
life. But so that's different than you and your husband where it's all the same. But that said, like I don't think I've ever thought about like the fact that maybe the soul is completely separated from the genetics of the question. And the souls that were meant to come to me, it's resonating a little bit for me right now. This is kind of like a brand new thought for me that I'm gonna have to
Yeah.
mull over. That maybe the souls that are meant to be my children are completely unrelated from the genetics of who they are, and that those kids are gonna come to me anyway.
Yes, I believe that. And I genuinely believe that, especially for people who've had stillbirths or something like that. Or let's say your kid has some freak genetic disease and is not compatible with life or whatever it is. I believe that those souls were sent to you. I don't believe like God gives you what you can handle. I don't believe that. But I
Horseshit.
do believe that your child is connected to you from the minute you conceive that you want them. Like your
Yeah.
child is yours, and maybe there's 25 up there, and I only choose to bring down three. Okay, that's possible. But I do believe that the children that are meant to be with me will come to me.
Yeah.
Just like I believe that you were meant to be in my life.
Yeah.
I believe that you were meant to be in my life, and I believe that we would have been friends. Well, I don't know that, but I do believe that.
You and I have talked a couple of times that, like, if we had, like, met at the grocery store or something, like, I don't think we would have been friends.
We would have been friends. I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind. But I would be very annoyed that you're so freaking anal. It would have driven me crazy.
Here's what would have happened. We would have had to have been thrown together in a situation we were forced to be together for whatever time. So, like, I'm imagining, like, a work retreat, right?
Or next to sitting next to each other on an airplane or something.
Exactly. Because it does take me a long time to warm up to somebody. And I opened up to you right away because we had the shared experience. But if we didn't have the shared experience, we are very different people. And I think it would have taken – we would have had to have worked together or something.
Alina, you underestimate me.
You're saying you would have won me over no matter what?
I have no doubt in my mind. I would have weaseled my way into your heart. You had no chance. No chance. And I can prove it.
How so?
Because I just know. Because this is my proof. It's that I like people like you. I gravitate to people who are similar to you. Aside from the fact that you're like a little bit like neurotic about some things that I am not about.
Yeah.
Like before Quinn died, you were more neurotic about stupid things that I don't give a shit about. But in general, I tend to gravitate towards people like you. So I know we would have been friends. And I happen to think shared experience, like I think the reason why we're such good grief partners is because we're similar. But I don't think that's the only thing we have in common.
No, it's not. It's not.
We have a lot of things in common. And yeah. We enjoy spending time with each other, even if we're not grieving. Like, we enjoy
That's
spending
true.
Time. Yeah. We
go to Home Depot.
We can go to Home Depot. You don't do much, but we enjoy documentaries.
Yeah.
We have a lot in common that is outside.
Here's the thing, Judith. You say you gravitate toward people like me. Like, I know I'm very similar to your husband, right? Like, You gravitate toward people like me. You are so different from every single other person in my life.
Doesn't matter, Alina. You're underestimating my abilities. You're thinking too low of me. That has never stopped me.
You're like some friendship superhero who just like charges in, knocking down walls.
I just don't. That would never have stopped me in a million years. So what, I'm different than your friend, okay? Like, I think that we would definitely have to be in a certain life circumstance because we just maybe don't, like, you don't leave your house very much. So where would I see you? But had we had the ability to spend time with one another, I have no doubt in my mind. I would have, like, you would have been like, oh, I met this woman. She won't leave me alone.
You know what I think we have in common that I really think it helps our friendship? I think we have a very similar sense of humor.
We do have a similar sense of humor.
We find the same things funny in either it's in an absurd way or it's in like a true, genuine humor way. Like, I think we find the same things funny. So that's good. And you know what, Judith, I guess you're kind of a consolation prize for me, but I don't think you're made of plastic. I think you are solid gold, baby.
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard. I'm getting... But you think your boyfriend's a consolation prize, but I'm gold?
He's gold too. He seems like he is. We'll give him some more time to figure it out. But he's...
I actually believe that too. I think that there are very few things in my life that don't feel like a consolation prize, but you don't feel like a consolation prize.
To all of our wonderful new friends, we want to hear from you. Email us at aslongasimlivingpodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Instagram @aslongasimlivingpodcast. We'll get back to you as soon as our grieving brains allow.
Yay!